When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Absolute pleasure. Willard and Dibs, y'all take it easy. Have a good one. Enjoy the game tonight.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I'm not kidding, man. I didn't say that because I think that Hunter's just some sort of a rah-rah guy. I do think Hunter, in fact, I know Hunter knows baseball. That said, pretty good at firing up a crowd.
Yeah.
Did it in the clubhouse once upon a time.
Where is the freaking bag?
There you go. Led to a World Series championship. So, and that is what today feels like, I think, to a lot of fans. It feels like the Giants got their organization back. And I know, as you heard Hunter try to do, a lot of this is going to sound like whacking Farhan on the way out the door, which I personally, I know a lot of you want to do. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't think that that's what's deserved here. In the end, it didn't work. I think we can see the things that were sort of the shortcomings, if you will. Not all players were upset, but too many just did not feel like they were being put in their best position to succeed. And then it's a bottom-line performance-based business. 6 years, five of them had a losing record. Like, that's not okay.
One playoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was playoff. A very, very big record that year.
Huge.
But outside of that, There just wasn't much to speak of. I do agree with Hunter on something else, though, too. I know that people's minds will go to, ooh, okay, every free agent is going to take Buster's call. I think every free agent takes every call. Someone's on the other end of the line trying to give you lots of money. I'm not saying it won't help. It will. But I think that what we learned this year is that's not the answer. I'm not saying I don't want Juan Soto on this team, but big dollars in free agency is just not the quick fix that you think it is. I think you have to spend at the right time. Yes, you do have to spend some money, but if this farm system doesn't start spitting people out, it's just not going to go well. And if it does, then whether you've got a Shohei on your team or not, you'll start liking the team. You'll love the team if they win more games than they lose.
Of course. We love that 107 win team. And
stars.
Yeah, exactly.
Buster.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't love this team. And, you know, it was kind of the last gasp of all those guys, and they all had career years. And you got 107 wins, and it wasn't good enough to even win a playoff series. And so it goes down as a footnote, and it goes down as a footnote in the Farhan Zaidi era. But I just wonder about the direction, because the first thing that he has to do, and you asked Hunter and Hunter asked you, and neither one of you really had the answer. And the answer is you need to set a course and you need to decide what you're going to do and who you're going to be, because you had the Sabian Bobby Evans tenure, which was more about people than it was about math. And then you brought in Farhan Zaidi, and it was more about math than it was about people. Now, it doesn't mean that either approach was black and white, cut and dry, like this was it, and we don't blend the two. But now going forward, you need to figure out who you're going to be and how you're going to go about doing that. And for me, the biggest thing, the biggest issue with this franchise right now, it's not Farhan Zaidi and righties hitting against lefties and lefties against righties. It's a farm that is not consistently producing, and it's an approach at the major league level that seems a little bit haphazard. And I know Bob Melvin expressed frustration last week or the week before about the strikeout rate, and it was the game, I think they struck out 17 times, and they need to come up with an organizational approach at the plate in the majors, and also, I think, in the minor leagues. Like, who are we going to be? What kind of a player are we trying to bring in? And then go forward and have that be your philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be one of the great questions tomorrow for Buster, is sort of like, what role will analytics play? I know everyone hates the word, but you can't just turn your back on it, go back to, you know, 2005. You can't do it. You'll get killed. You'll get absolutely destroyed by these other teams. But is there a middle ground? Could you accuse the previous regime of being a slave to the information? I think you can. I think you can. And so what is that balance? And how do you define that balance of taking in the information and having the data and doing all the advanced metrics, but at the same time, still running your team with a human touch, and then like on each individual basis, like how do you instill confidence in those guys to go out there and perform, but also kind of tweak it so that they're in their best spot and position to succeed? It's not an easy balance.
No.
But that's why I think the previous regime probably got to a spot where it was being overwhelmed with not enough. And then this regime, it was a little bit too much. And that's the assignment for Buster, is finding the middle ground.
Exactly, the balance. And I do think that this year was a little bit of a move toward the mean on that, because you look at Matt Chapman, who played 154 games, and Conforto played 130. Yaz played 140. Like Yaz or not, he was an everyday player. And Lamont Wade Jr. would have been if he wasn't hurt. Patrick Bailey played a ton of games. I do think you moved toward an everyday lineup, which is good for the fans. The fans want that. But it's also good for the players, like Hunter was saying, when you know you're going to be out there. You're going to be out there 5 out of every 6 or 5 out of every 7. And, you know, you get your days off, but you're a starter. And you get to go out there and start, and you're going to play. And if you're a righty and they're throwing a righty, you're going to get a chance to play. And maybe you go 0-for-3, and then you come up in the 8th and you get pinch hit 4. That's fine. That's baseball. And that's heads up baseball. But the analytics part of it is, it's hit me a different way, because I talked to my son today, who's a senior at UCSB, and he just applied last year for a position on the UCSB baseball team analytics department.
Okay.
Because he's a math guy. He's, you know, calculus and stats and the whole thing.
Has he gotten a call back yet?
Today. He's going to get a call back.
Oh,
so
okay.
We're waiting for a call back.
All
but
right.
He's got me thinking more about analytics, because my son's 21 and he's super mathy and he loves baseball. And so I know that analytics is very important in baseball, but I'm also a guy who, as a coach for 25 years, I'm a human touch guy, where you need human beings to feel good about what they're doing in any business. Like, if you come in here and you don't feel good about what you're doing, or I don't, or Grandy, or director of sports, you're not going to be as good if you're unsure about,
no, you know, question.
If the door opens right now and Nahegan comes in and goes, we're going to go with Grandy the rest of the way. We're going to the lefty. He's a little bit stronger on baseball. We're going to the lefty. I would feel uneasy.
Yeah.
I'd feel unsure, and I wouldn't be able to be as good as I can be.
Does this move bring you back? 888-957-9570, the number. We're taking your calls. Dave Fleming in about an hour. Waterman in Corte Madera. Hey, Waterman, thanks for the call.
What's up, gentlemen? How are we doing?
Good.
So this is my quick take on this. The news about Farhan, I think we all knew, was coming. I'm glad it actually got done. I'm glad the Giants were complacent and just sticking with him and riding out another year or whatever. That the Posey thing definitely perks my interest, but I am mildly confused. He's never done it before. Maybe he's been quietly training behind the scenes, hence what you were talking about, him coming and moving his family back 2 years ago to be an interest in the team. My other question is this. I'm curious if this is also a money-saving thing, or if they're going to work out some sort of contract with him in this, because he is part ownership. I don't know how that works. If he can do this, like, basically for free, because he's getting, you know, money from what, however much the, you know, the team makes and all that, and the revenue. And then this is their interim way of using him, bringing the interest back in the team, because clearly the fans weren't happy. And then within that time, maybe they pick somebody that they use under him as part of a helping program for Buster, or they have somebody in mind on another team that they'd like to go after, who they know that contract's going to be up in a year or two.
Waterman,
my other thing is this.
Yeah, here, we got a boogie, but thank you for that. Let's answer that. I would say, and I don't know, and he'll answer some questions tomorrow. I'm wildly certain, though, that Buster Posey's going to have a salary.
Right.
He's not doing this for free just because he's on the ownership group. So, yes, he can take this job. He will get paid for this job. But I do think, Waterman, what you're talking about is going to be a thing. He's going to have a big staff underneath him that's doing a lot of the day-to-day. Those are the indications that we're getting. Buster, that does not mean he's just a figurehead. I think he's going to do a lot, but I think he'll have more hands and eyes on deck than Farhan did. That's probably a good thing.
Absolutely. Delegation. It's going to be a delegation sensation, Mark.
I should have thought of that.
Yeah.
But you pay the buck.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah. We're sponsored by The Veranda in Concord. Dave Fleming in an hour. Your calls continue. Does this bring you back? Giants fans, you heard it today. Farhan out, Buster in. What did that do for you and your Giants emotions? 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, the Buster Posey hire is sort of, I think, it's the equivalent of a tub of ice cream in front of the couch at 11:30 at night. This is comfort food. Now, the difference is Buster is smart, and a tub of ice cream at 11:30 is probably not. But I'm trying to think of, like, what I would compare this to in terms of moves that are so readily popular among the entire fan base, especially at a time when it's really needed. Go to some of the other organizations that are doing well now or have recently, and the people in charge that have been really good hires, from a Steve Kerr to a Kyle Shanahan / John Lynch, even a Mike Dunleavy Jr. coming in as the general manager to replace Bob Myers. Up and down the line, none of those were just 100% well-received right in that moment. This was one of those situations where it was like, we're moving on. We're not even going to go through the process of, like, all right, here's what we're looking for. Bang. 2 minutes after Farhan is out, Buster is in, and you're not going to find one Giants fan who isn't thrilled. Not one.
Right, because you don't have to be thrilled right now by what he does as president of baseball ops, the PBOP. You don't have to be thrilled right now because he hasn't done anything and he can't do anything. All you need to know right now is a guy that you didn't like, Farhan Zaidi, and I'm speaking for the majority of the fan base, is replaced by a guy not only do you like, not only do you love him, you revere him. So right now, on September 30th, as we head into October 1st, and I know tomorrow is the introductory presser, and you're going to be there, and I look forward to, let's go to Mark in the back.
We'll see.
Yeah. No, you'll get one in there.
Yeah, feel it out.
I know, but you'll be there.
You gotta get there on time, too.
And you're going to report back on what you see, but between now and the winter meetings, this cannot be anything other than an absolute slam dunk. And this kind of reminds me of free donuts in the office, and we have them today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you eat one, and you eat two, and you might eat a third, and it's not until about an hour and a half later where the tummy ache hits. And so right now, I'm coming off a maple glazed and it was good, and I may run it back with one of those cherry-filled yum-yums.
Don't have a third dog. That's just a bad choice.
Well,
just don't do that. But don't do that.
My point is, in the short term, it's pure sugary bliss, which is where we are with Buster Posey.
It's like signing Jorge Soler to $42 million over 3 years. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
One at a time. Do a 1+1, okay?
Yeah.
1+1. One donut option for a second, and then that's it. Please, listen to your body.
No, but I'm good, and I'm going to be one and done, like Drexel in the NCAA tournament. I am one and done, but that's where we are with Buster, where right now it is, I mean, the tub of ice cream is a pretty good analogy, because you get through, even like the pint, you get the pint of your favorite Ben & Jerry's, and you're not going to eat the whole thing, and you get halfway through, and you go, ah, the hell with it, I'm eating the whole thing. And you will eventually pay for it.
I'm going to push back on your idea that Buster hasn't done anything yet. I disagree. I think Buster...
He represents something that's been done.
I don't think the stories that we read in recent weeks were an accident.
Him signing Matt Chapman,
correct,
for example. Yep, that's fair.
Like, who do you think was operating as president of baseball ops? Let me ask you this. You think Farhan found out today?
Oh, no.
No.
And was it a week ago where the reports were that he spoke and he was like, well, I kind of did what I did. I did my best. And it was almost like
Thursday. I think it was Thursday of last week.
That recent? Okay.
Yeah. Where he admitted that he knew that he was under evaluation.
Right. Evaluation. That's exactly the word.
Yep. Come on. The organization had no choice. None. Like, just for a second, you can bask in the glow of this. Just imagine for a moment if the announcement had been the opposite today. What do you think would be happening on this radio station right now? The Giants have announced tomorrow is the press conference, the end of the year press conference. It will be operated by Farhan Zaidi. He is back for another year. That doesn't even an option. It's not even an option, is it?
No. It would be irate fan base. It would be, I mean, can you imagine the amount of people who would, I don't know, cancel their season tickets as opposed to people who are now looking to re-up or get back in?
You know, and again, I said this on the crossover, doesn't really matter if this doesn't land well today, but the bottom line is, he's the boss. You get the president label. So you're going to have to sort of answer for whatever happens, and what has happened on the field is nowhere near good enough. He ain't acting alone. The organization is way bigger than just Farhan Zaidi, and it will continue to be way bigger than just Buster Posey. And that's where I still remain concerned today. I still do. Because I still have not seen really much of anything from this current ownership group that makes me feel like things are being well thought out all the way up at the top of the building. Except for this.
Right.
This is literally the first thing, and I'd argue that this was a 2-foot putt. Some of us didn't even know that this was an option. I didn't know what Buster, quote unquote, wanted to do. I knew he was here. Is part of the ownership group. What you see unfold over the last 3-4 weeks makes you go, oh, okay, Buster's getting his hands dirty. That's a good thing. Once that happens, this is a 2-foot putt. Who the hell would miss this? I didn't know this was an option. I mean, we all pretty much felt strongly. I just looked at it. You know this. I sent a text to our group at 7:00 this morning. So it's Victory Monday, but let's be ready. This is probably going to be the last day for Farhan Zaidi. I had no idea that it was going to be Buster. Did you have any inkling that that was going to be the replacement for Farhan?
I had no sense. I thought that it would be Farhan today. Tomorrow would have been, you know, Greg Johnson and Bo Mel, and it would have been, you know, we're going to have an exhaustive search. We're going to find the right person. We're going to leave no stone unturned, Mark, to find somebody to turn this thing around, because we know that this is unacceptable. And instead it was, Fall on out, Buster in. Buster, don't mind that the seat is still kind of warm. Go ahead and plop yourself down there and be ready for tomorrow. That part of it is shocking.
Totally.
You and I talked about it on Friday, and even as a group, we all said, like, man, Monday, it looks like the Niners should win. And, you know, Warriors Media Day. And keep in mind, the Farhan stuff might also drop. And I was all, you know, we all were kind of like thinking, wouldn't it be cool if it was Wednesday when they decided that? That way it's a nice soft spot in all of our schedule, but life doesn't work that way.
No, no, but they couldn't. They couldn't like this.
No, they couldn't.
And,
you're right.
And Giants fans, I wonder if you feel like there's a couple different ways to feel about this. But you largely did this. Like your behavior, your dollar, you're what drove this. And I do think in this particular case, that's a very, very good thing. That's a powerful thing. But I do wonder, do you feel like it was done a little too late? Or do you feel like it was kind of right on time? You know, I go back to last year when that was the first question that Farhan had to receive at the press conference, which was, why only Gabe? Why only Gabe? You hired Gabe. You guys came here. Why only Gabe? And he answered that question. And now it turns out it sort of feels like it was a wasted year.
Yes and no. I mean, wasted year, I don't know. I think that he sold them on the fact that he deserved a chance to do it the way that they all wanted to do it, which was spend and see what the young guys could do. And so they spent and they saw what the young guys could do. And when they spent, your center fielder had his arm fall off in the end of April, and your top flight pitcher wasn't worth a damn until mid-June, and your DH slugger wasn't much of a slugger, so you dealt him. And the young guys, well, they were a little bit hit and miss. So I do think that he was given a chance to, he sold them on what the plan was, and they said, all right, go do it. And he tried to do it, and it didn't work.
I don't know if I believe that anymore. I don't know if I fully believe that anymore. I know that's what he told us. I don't know that I fully believe that anymore.
What do you think happened then? That the ownership just said, we've got no better candidate, and Buster's still unpacking boxes, so let's go ahead and give him one more year, and Buster, you go ahead and get loose in the bullpen just in case.
Kinda. Yeah. Not just in case. I think it's more a conversation with Buster. Hey, Buster, now? And Buster's like, not yet. Not yet. Let me continue to work behind the scenes for another year. Let me learn a little bit more about this position. And let's see if we can, because look at the philosophy shift. Look at what happened. That was not the same Farhan Zaidi. He went out, started doling out 3 years to Jorge Soler and 5 years to Jung-Hoo Lee. And let's get two of the Boris Four. Not one, let's get two. And I know they were short deals, but they were expensive deals. Matt Chapman and Blake Snell. He went out and spent money, and a bunch of free agents said yes. That's not what we've been dealing with Farhan. And so I wonder if obviously they got to him and said, we've got to try this a different way, but Buster just sat and said, let's observe. Let's observe for one more year and then see where we're at. And that gives Buster the time. And I don't know that then, you know, to what level this is true. I'm speculating to a degree. But again, I go back to, we should have known. The second he moved here, I got to tell you, I go back to that day, I was like, really? I was shocked that Buster Posey, a Georgia guy who wouldn't even stay out here for COVID because of two young kids at home.
Yeah, skip the year.
And,
good call.
And has been living in Georgia his whole life except for being a Giant. And then all of a sudden he retires, and a year later he packs up the four kids and goes to Lafayette. Like, we should have known right then that Buster was going to be a day-to-day guy.
Yes, but
that's how I feel.
Okay, then I think back to his comments from the Andy Bagley article last December when he'd already come out here, and he said, you know, something that's noteworthy that keeps popping up from players and their wives is there's a bit of an uneasiness with the city itself. as far as with crime and with drugs. He said to Andy Baggerly in The Athletic, whether it's fair or not, perception's reality. It's a frustrating cycle. Baseball is secondary to life and the important things, but as far as a free agent pursuit goes, I've seen that it does affect things. And so when he says that, that told me at the time, like, he's either out of touch or not really interested in the day-to-day, because if you're going to take the job that he's now taken, I wonder if he looks back at those comments and regrets it, because those are things that he's now going to have to confront.
Well, he's going to have to confront. If he regrets them, he probably already regrets them. You know, I look at those comments, and I think less about sort of what he's saying, and I think more of that he said it. That was my issue with it back then. Like, he's the one talking to free agents. He's the one there. If that's what people are feeling, then that's what people are feeling. What bothered me about it is that he said it to Andy Baggerly.
Yeah.
And made it public. Because to me, that gives it credence. And, you know, is he trying to fight that by, like, well, let's move to the Bay Area. Like, I'm a Georgia boy. I'm a Mudna. I know he lives in Lafayette. But that's kind of the point. Oh, they all live in Lafayette. There's none of these guys. Austin Slater was, of course, one of the rare exceptions. To think that these players are coming out here to live in a high rise, right, you know, just south of Market. Like, come on. That's not what San Francisco Giants and their salaries are largely doing. Maybe some of the young guys who are just coming up. Maybe. But that's not what Giants are doing. So this whole narrative never made sense for a thousand reasons. Simply the fact that he said it publicly, I mean, that'd be an interesting question tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you regret saying that publicly? I don't know.
Think that this is a challenge that you're going to have to face now as president of baseball operations, where this is a thing that you said not even a year ago, and now as the president of baseball ops, you're going to have to confront this reality? How do you go about combating this perception that you said is a real perception?
Yeah, but he said it, and then the very following year, four big free agents said yes.
Right.
And Blake Snell was asked the question, and he's like, I don't even know what city I'm in. I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care what city I'm in.
And Chapman had lived here, and Jung-Hoo Lee was, you know, coming from Korea. So.
Yeah, and Chapman obviously was dying to stay. A Boris client who signed before the year even ended? He had no interest in leaving.
Yeah, and Soler left, and, you know, Snell looks like he's going to leave. It seems that he's going to opt out.
Well, he's definitely going to opt out. I don't know that he's going to leave, but probably. Yeah.
I don't know. That will be an interesting one, and Buster won't answer that tomorrow, but that's going to be one to watch.
Why not?
Because if he, like, do you have any interest in re-signing Blake Snell?
What's your interest level in bringing back Blake Snell?
I'm sure the interest level is going to be fairly high because he's a really good pitcher.
Let's hear what he says.
Yeah.
You can gather things from that, right?
Right.
You can sort of like the way they answer it. You could always tell with Farhan when he would be like, well, there will be some discussions. That's a no.
Yeah.
There will be some discussions. That's a no. If the interest level is incredibly high and we are already talking, that's a maybe. That's a maybe. And then if you hear nothing at all, that's a yes.
Yeah.
Like Matt Chapman. Let's go to Douglas in Sunnyvale. Hi, Douglas. Thanks for calling Willard and Dibbs. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen, I just had an idea for you to consider. I don't know if you saw it in the news recently, but Buster just bought a huge ranch up in Northern California.
That's correct.
Okay. So, you know, not every player comes from Anaheim or Irvine.
Okay.
Lots of players like to hunt, they like to fish, they like to swim in streams with their family. Here, this is all tied to moving back here. He moved back here and got a house, and then he moved back here and got an estate that's not, he doesn't have to manage. It's managed by the state of California because it's a historic property. He just owns it. It's kind of like the Hearst Castle. So, it's managed by the state, but all the Hearst family can go enjoy it.
So what are you getting
at? This is recruiting. It's not just the city. It's Northern California. It's where everybody in the world wants to live. It's Silicon Valley. It's Stanford and UC Berkeley. it's skiing one time in the afternoon, and then in the morning you go surfing. I mean, this is the most vital place in the entire planet. That's what he has to sell. Of course he'd come back to sell that. Come on.
Well, see, Douglas, here's what I'd say. Thank you, Douglas, so much for calling. I have a hard time answering this because I never bought the narrative to begin with. Now, if they're saying that they deal with that, then they deal with that. And I have zero doubt, because we've all seen it, there are plenty of people in this country who, when they think Bay Area right now, they immediately go to, well, I saw on Fox News that it's a mess. Great. Good for you. Those people aren't changing their mind.
Right.
But outside of that, it's absolute lunacy to think that the Giants are at some sort of competitive disadvantage because they can't sell their franchise. If you come up with the most money and you look like an organization that's a winner and you have good players and offer a chance to win, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Unless they are so dead set against living in California for all of the various reasons. If you are somebody who doesn't believe in a certain amount of equality or gender equity, or, you know, the liberal lifestyle that is pervasive out here, if you're somebody who's really turned off by that, you're right, Mark. You're not coming here. You're looking for Texas or Georgia or other places where those mentalities are not so pervasive.
Yeah, I also think, though, that just like anybody else, like if you make $20 million a year, you could tuck yourself away from anything. You could tuck yourself away from anything. You think for some of these salaries, they've got to face all of that? If that's not the way they look at things or not what they want to surround themselves with?
Probably not, but if you're making 20, then you could probably make 20 somewhere else or 19 somewhere else and not have to pay California state taxes. There's ways to...
Of course.
I mean, if you're that level of player, you're going to pick and choose based on more than just the amount of money you can make.
Steve-O is in the city, and next up on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Steve-O, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Love the show. I listen all the time, so thanks so much. You know, it's not so much about the comment itself, because it's not some revelation that people, you know, try to put this stigma on San Francisco. It's got it's got problems like many other cities, maybe some more than others. But the bottom line is, it's just not as bad as people make it out to be. And Buster didn't have a full-throated defense to follow up his comment. So it's one thing to make the comment. It's another thing to make the comment and just kind of throw your hands up in the air and be like, well, I guess that's just the way it is. And that's what it felt like to me. You know, he stayed in the city for a dozen years or more. So, you know, he found some kind of love for this part of the nation that he came back. And I think there are a lot of other players that see the beauty of Northern California, kind of like what the last caller said. Most of them don't even live in the city. So we've got to have a follow-up narrative to this kind of stereotype that people are trying to put on San Francisco.
Well, Steve-O, thanks. I just, for the life of me, and, you know, here we are on this subject again, I don't even understand it. You cannot tell me that 90%, if not more, of professional athletes don't simply take the best offer. That's it. They take the best offer. Sure, could certain places sort of be like complete, well, that's a hard no, I don't even want to talk to them.
Of course.
If you're a super established player, and let's say you're married, you have a family, and the family's like, that's out. Like, I don't even want to look at that. I'm sure that that does happen on certain levels. But bottom line, come on. None of you care about the $2 million free agent. What we're really talking about here is the $200, $300 million guy. You think that dude is like not going to just take the best offer? that dude takes the best offer.
But if it's a competitive offer, then it comes down to other factors. And one of those factors, forget the city and whether or not you think it's drug-addled or safe or too liberal or the rest of it. It comes down to a winning culture and a winning team. And you look at Shohei Ohtani, and if the Giants offered him the same sort of a deal and he went to L.A. for the Dodgers, it's because they're a winning team.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Buster Posey's running the Giants. Does this bring you back? 888-957-9570, the number. Dave Fleming in a half hour. Plus, with all that's gone on today, you may not have heard the news with regard to the 49ers and one of their biggest names. We'll have that for you coming up next as well on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I'll tell you what, this was one of the most perfect ways to end this sunny, glorious day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty, pretty cool.
On 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? That guest line will be hot and popping in about a half hour. Dave Fleming is going to be on it. I wanted to address this real quick. So once upon a time, John Lynch was hired to be the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, and I got into a hot debate on the radio with my then partner. It goes by the name of Rich Ornberger.
I love him.
Former NFL player. You know our guy, Orny.
And, smart, former player,
super,
funny.
Super funny.
Insightful.
Yeah. Yep, all of those things. But wrong in this particular case.
Oh, God.
Because he went off about how John Lynch is completely unqualified for this position. And it was along the lines of what we've seen grow in popularity around sports recently. Steve Nash, you've been retired for 4 minutes. You're a head coach. Boom. All right. That's exciting. And so I'm not saying it always works, but I argued that day when Kyle Shanahan sort of handpicked John Lynch to be on by his side if he was going to get the gig in San Francisco. And I was like, well, hold on a second. Like, when you go, oh, he's unqualified for the position, what does that mean? What is it about a football team that John Lynch doesn't know? What is it about looking at an athlete and deciding he can do it or he can't? What is it about having an organizational philosophy that John Lynch doesn't know? Is he going to be good at the job? I can't tell you that. Is it going to go well? I don't know. But I think sometimes we have a hard time with whether it feels like nepotism or whatever, handing jobs to people, and we're like, not qualified for that. And I've heard people today, well, is Buster qualified for this? What exactly do you think Buster is going to have to do in this job that he doesn't know everything about? What would it be?
I don't know. I mean, he's probably been through every facet of it in terms of scouting. He's either scouted or been scouted. He's been somebody dealing with contracts on the other side of things. He's a guy who played 12, 13 years in Major League Baseball in the squad. So he has seen a lot of players and he knows a lot of players. He knows a lot of managers and he knows the game inside and out. So the things that he can't do, whether it's, you know, figuring out the numbers to stay under the tax or over the tax, he's not going to be a one-man shop in the front office. He's going to have a GM. He's going to have probably 10 to 15 scouts. He's going to have a whole cadre of people who are doing specialized things to help him. So this is where I'm kind of in lockstep with you about, you know, what can't he do? Whatever he can't do, he's going to have somebody who's really good at it to do it for him and help him learn it and guide him his way through it.
I just think you got to be super cynical to look at this and try to like poke holes into what the Giants are doing. I understand that it may not feel good when someone loses their job and then like you have the replacement literally sitting there at the end of the sentence, which is what happened here. Like, they could not tweet out Farhan Zaidi has been fired and have it sit there long enough to where they, well, hold on, don't send the tweet. We can send the next sentence to Buster Posey has been hired as president of baseball ops. We had the Farhan stuff go down. Grandy texts us and goes, Buster Posey, Pobo, which stands for President of Baseball Operations. I thought he was kidding. I thought you were kidding.
That was like 4 minutes later.
I thought that you were being like, ooh, it'd be cool if they got Buster for Pobo.
I was so shocked. I wanted to get it quick, and it would have taken longer to copy and paste the Twitter link. So I just went, Buster Pobo.
Buster Pobo. And so it's no longer Buster Posey. It's Buster Pobo. And I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, Grandy wants Buster. Yeah, sure, that'd be cool. And then I opened up my laptop, and I'm like, holy for the holies, what are you talking about? It's already done. It's already done. Wow, that interview went really well. It was 3 seconds long. So, look, he's qualified, and the bottom line is he's for you. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to make this sound like some sort of a presidential speech or something like that. But the bottom line is, if you're a Giants fan, you did this. You did this. This is for you, and I think you're the one who phrased it this way. Fair or foul doesn't matter. In terms of popularity, they just went from as far over to this end of the spectrum as they could go and swung it as far over to the other end. There's not another name in the world that would have felt better to Giants fans to get named as the replacement today.
Exactly, and which is why, and you talk about winning the press conference, it's something that we use in this business all the time. They've already won tomorrow's press conference. No matter what happens, they've won. Buster in, Farhan out. Nobody wanted Farhan to come back among fans. And, 888-957-9570. If you're heartbroken that Farhan Zaidi has been relieved of duties, I'd love to get your call. I'm sure there's a couple of them out there. But you go from Farhan, who everybody wanted out, to the replacement is an absolute legend, somebody who everybody adores and reveres. And so, yeah, you've won the press conference. Now you set about the real hard work, which is turning this thing around, because what it is right now is a mediocre team that is mostly dull without a lot of help on the farm. And we can Bryce Eldridge, and we can say that name between now and March when he shows up to camp and all the rest of it, but this organization right now, you are so mid. It's just it's the definition of mid.
I do want to ask that tomorrow. What are the chances that Bryce Eldridge makes his major league debut next year?
That's a great question.
Thank you. It's probably a too soon question. I doubt Buster will have much to say about that.
Yeah.
But so what?
Right.
Let's find out what he says.
Especially if you're going to ask a question in like the 11 or the 12 hole, which I know you like to lay back. You're not a big look at me guy in these press conferences.
Check out what's going on out there. Let's see what's doing.
So if you're
going
to lay back, I'm fascinated by our show thread this morning because I was watching the Niner game back a second time, as I do. It's my Monday morning ritual. And I see your tweet, tons of penalties, many of them horse bleep.
They were.
Then you write, fade the dinners, and I think you mean fade the dibbers.
Did it autocorrect the dinners?
I thought it was fine, but we can discuss. Grandy comes in moments later with, by the way, with his weekend plans, and congrats to your friend. He's going to a wedding in New Orleans, too, by the way, which that's a nice, solid stretch.
Eat some beignets.
Yeah, you are, among other things. Then Lucas drops the sluss bomb. You say yep. And then 4 minutes later, it's Buster Pobo. So life comes at you fast. We go from you crying about the refs again.
Not crying. Look me in the eye and tell me that George Kittle was holding. Look me in the eye and tell me that you think George Kittle held that man.
Can't do it.
Well,
look me in the eye.
Look at my notes.
I can't read your notes. Those are 10 feet away.
I don't want you to read them, but
why'd you say read my notes then?
I said take a look at my notes.
That's
I didn't
a great
say
question.
You said read my
I
notes.
I said take a look at my notes. And what I do as I go through the game for a second time, I write everything down. Second and six from the 38. Mason goes for 14, touchdown. But hold on Kittle. ?
Not a question mark.
Well, that tells me, it reminds me that it probably wasn't the right call.
Not probably.
And that's a great question.
Just definitely. Look me in the eye and just do it. It'll feel good.
Second and five from the six. Illegal shift? ?
Or should I call you Dins? Just look me in the eye. This will feel good, I promise. Just repeat after me. Mark, on that play, the refs were wrong.
Mark, on that play, Kittle showed poor technique.
Oh, for crying out loud.
We'll get to it. I thought it was questionable.
I mean, what about D'Amador Lenore getting called for that DPI? That was messed up.
I also have that on my second half notes.
Is that two question marks? Three question marks? Yeah. Four?
That probably just three.
One?
And immediately...
debatable.
Your
that
guy,
was debatable. I don't know.
OPI.
Mike, what's his name? Mike Pereira. I love Mike Pereira. He immediately comes on and says, nah, that's not something you call. They were engaged, and my notes say hand fighting. And they were hand fighting, and actually,
it's unreal.
The offensive player held on longer than D'Amador Lenore. That should not have been called.
Thank you.
That one was horsebleed.
They all were.
Kittle was callable.
Now, by the way, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Niners got some ticky-tackers, too.
They sure did.
Absolutely. So I'm not like, this isn't me being all just like wearing red and gold. Refs had a bad game. It's okay to say it.
Do you have to be a homer?
Not in this case. They did, like, it didn't affect the game. But really, Brock Purdy at one point was just like, I'm just going to keep throwing this touchdown until they count it. Three touchdown passes in four plays, which is hard to do. But he did it. Refs. They were bad.
And that throw to Kittle, we're going to throw it into triple coverage, and that's going to be okay. All right, Brock, just throw it up.
You're damn right.
Throw it up for grabs.
Touchdown.
Yeah, thanks to George. He high-pointed that motherfather.
Well, he also got thrown to the spot where he could. Nobody else could reach it.
Unlike the one later in the game when he threw it not to the spot.
Bad decision. Didn't see the guy. He didn't see him. It was a great play by Peppers.
Trying to force it to Ayuk. Trying to make him feel good. Anyway, we'll get into it.
Yeah. Anyway is right.
Anyway.
I don't even remember what the hell.
It all started with Buster Posey and the text and how everything happened with such rapidity. It was so rapid from, oh my, the Farhan thing's actually dropped. Wait, it's Buster?
Well, I also, and we can get into this a little bit with Flem. I feel like you're overstating where the cupboard sits for Buster. Like you're overstating it to the negative. I'm not going to tell you that the Giants are like a very good team right now. They're not. But this idea that, you know, we bring up Eldridge, this idea that the farm system is not turning anything out. I don't know. That feels a little unfair in this moment.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how much proven commodities it has given, but Elliot Ramos just made the All-Star team.
Okay.
I know how Bailey hit down the stretch, but Bailey is Bailey. That's your catcher. From what
I'm going to give you Ramos, Fitzgerald, and Bailey.
Okay.
Those are...
No Birdsong, no Kyle Harrison.
Let's just start with the first three.
Okay.
Ramos, Fitzgerald, and Bailey. Bailey's your 8 or 9 hitter. Fitzgerald is probably not your everyday shortstop.
Well, Bailey's your catcher. Like, fine. Your 8 or 9 hitter. Like, he's your catcher.
Your biggest issue with this team is offense, I would argue. And your pitching was underwhelming this year.
Exactly.
And if you want to talk about Birdsong, he is a number 4 starter. Logan Webb's not an ace.
What?
Logan Webb was, he was meaty. Right. He was fine.
For the love of God.
Blake Snell's an ace. That guy's an ace.
Logan Webb's not an ace.
Logan Webb's a great number. If he's your number 2, you're a good team. If he's your ace, you're 80 and 82 if he's your ace.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.